Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati cover the punk rockinist, hip-hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half-free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Distance Learning Anarchy Series with Freedom Fiends Michael W. Dean.
Broadcasting from my windowless bunker.
And Nima Vedati.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
I can do effects now.
Hi, Nima. Cool.
Hi.
Cool. That's great. We're recording, and this is the Freedom Fiends. Yeah.
Okay. Great. I was just playing with my stuff. I've routed everything in a new way, so now we should be able to talk, play clips, and all be in mono, and all sound good, and not hurt your ears, and not have mumble distortion anymore, which is a big plus, because now we're using Audio Compass, or as Michael calls it, Audio Cactus, because it holds water.
It really doesn't have anything to do with what it does, but neither does Audio Compass. It doesn't point you in the right direction. But and I'm not using a preamp because my cheap preamp, two preamp, was I did fix the K2 issue, but it's so cheap that it has a lot of audible noise, which Mumble takes care of because it has noise reduction circuitry, but it also has like everything reduction circuitry, whereas Audio Compass or Audio Cactus, as we call it, is crystal clear. And this is what the Fiends are going to sound like from now on, but I'll sound a little better
the preamp,
when I get my preamp.
The preamp
a better
you were using
preamp
was called the Tube Art preamp.
Art Tube USB, yeah, something. Yeah, they're well, okay. They're noisy,
though.
Did you
read the instruction manual?
No, I throw those away.
Well, when I was setting it up for Frank, because I was setting up his condenser mic with it, and it ended up sounding okay at the end. You know, it's workable. He could use it.
Dude, sound like Free Talk Live. We sound so good, and we don't have
millions
of dollars worth of equipment, billions that they've spent,
We've spent lots of elbow grease in it.
Yeah.
But why I was bringing up the instruction manual is because in the instruction manual, in the frequently asked questions, it addresses that. It says, this is not a noisy preamp, even though most people or many people say it is. It's like, well, if in your own instruction manual you address the issue that people think it's really noisy, then it probably is.
Yeah,
they explain
I mean,
it away by saying that it puts out a fat line signal. So if you're using it into a mic input on your mixer or even into your computer, because the USB part of it, sometimes the Windows will recognize it as a mic instead of a line.
Dude, they're lying. They're so lying. That's like this picture I saw recently. You know the Scumbag Steve meme?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, a dude
with the backwards hat or the broke off hat. Yeah.
Right. It was that hat on Uncle Sam, and it said, tells you you're free, tries to regulate every aspect of your life. Yeah.
Or pretends to protect you from monopolies and violence, is a violent monopoly, is the other one I've seen with the Scumbag Steve hat on the White House. No, on the Congress. Yeah.
But getting back to audio production and
audio,
how great the Fiends are and how we're going to be on radio. Wait, you could do the radio thing now. Go ahead and try it. You got reverb there?
I'm using tape. Again.
Radio.
Nice. I like it. Let's do it together. One, two, three. Radio. Okay. Cool.
I've got reverb too, though. Radio.
Yeah.
Oh, and I've got a vocoder on mine. Do you have a vocoder on yours?
No. Let's hear
check
that.
Check it out.
Yeah, that sounds really 80s disco.
It does, and it doesn't have a keyboard, so you kind of got to do it by ear. It's just got a slide knob.
Turn down the amount of it, and then say, "Fun, fun, fun on the Autobahn." Try that.
Fun, fun, fun on the Autobahn.
Not the right setting, but and it's not fun. It's fun, which means driving. Fun. Driving on the Autobahn. Oh, so anyway, okay. I did the Ernie Hancock show this morning. It was a good time. He let me get a word in edgewise for the second half of it. He wanted to, I'd sent him an email, like I guess something got crossed with the producer or something. Like I said I wanted to talk, he's like, what do you want to talk about? I want to talk about audio gear. And he started talking about like Obama and gun laws. And I'm like, so basically you're saying some tyranny happened. I mean, that's like, why don't we get on the radio and say the sun came up today and talk about it, you know? I was like,
you told me the other night, Chris Matthews says that the Second Amendment, if you believe in it, you're a racist. And if you believe in guns, you're a racist.
That's funny.
And I was like, yeah, that's like saying, oh, this rapper out there, did you hear? He was talking about getting oral sex from a prostitute.
Yeah, and I didn't quite get it. Yeah, that's what rappers do. Right away. But basically what you're saying is, did you know the sun rose today? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
Because rappers do talk about getting oral sex from chicks. Yeah, right. So I was talking with Ernie about equipment. I was trying to talk with Ernie about equipment. And Ernie has, you know, I mean, he's got a rack mount full of stuff where one of the things in the rack costs more than everything you and I have together. But he doesn't know what any of it is. Basically, he went out 10 years ago and hired a guy who outfits radio stations and wrote him a blank check and said, outfit me a radio station. And when something breaks down, he's got a guy for that, you know? So I'm asking like, well, you have a Comrex. With a Comrex, I know we're getting one. I know you have to do a mix minus. How do you do a mix minus? And he's like, I don't know what that is. I have a guy for that. And he was like, why do you want to talk about this, Michael? And I'm like, a lot of reasons. It's been a passion of mine since I was a little kid. I enjoy it. I enjoy getting $1 million sound out of $1,000. Or $500, which you and I do, and I want to be a teaching hospital and teach it to other people. That's the main reason, you know? I mean,
right.
Yeah, and what I do for a day job, or used to do, I do less of it now, but like writing tech stuff, it kind of got in my soul to where like I have to do it. If I go 3 months without writing a blog post that's a tech tutorial with screenshots, I get itchy and like feel dirty in my skin or something.
Well, also, we got to practice what we preach, right? And we're talking about how all the time, you know, you don't need state schools, you don't need indoctrination camps, even when it's higher education, a lot of it's indoctrination, but you do need information. And also, you know, we're anti-welfare state. We don't want to give people fish. We want to teach them to fish. So it's like that with teaching people about audio. And yeah, maybe not everybody loves it or is going to take our advice and put it to good use. But even if you don't, it's also important, I think, to have a layman's sort of understanding of even things like this. So if you ever come across it or ever do need to use it, you might even have a little bit of it in your back of your brain somewhere that might come in handy one day.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, even having a lot of money doesn't make you sound great. I mean, Adam Kokesh apparently has a lot of money, but someone was complaining the other day, like, you know, your show right out, The Fiends right after him on LRN or whenever it used to be right after, he's like, God, I'd have to turn him off because you guys sound so good. And then he comes on and I'm like, Yeah. And he's got a good mic. His studio looks decent. Although he's got a studio that it's in his house, but he's built it so it looks really cool. Mm. But to me, it looks like it wouldn't be good for audio. He's got like, you know, plate metal sculptures behind him. I mean, that just reflects
sounds
around.
Surfaces.
It looks cool.
It's
and
not
it looks
the size
metal.
Of the mic. It's how you use it.
I know. It looks metal. But, you know, I've got like rugs hanging
metal,
on
like
my
brutal
wall.
Metal or metal like
both.
Metal.
Both. Okay. Yeah. So,
audio gear. Yeah, man. I guess I always wondered that too about, you know, people who do radio and don't know how to do all the little technical details. I mean, I guess that's cool and all because it's division of labor, and you know, that's not a bad thing at all. But for me personally, I've always wanted to be able to do every aspect of anything I'm interested in, know exactly the details. So even if I'm not the expert to fix it, I at least know why it needs to be fixed or a basic understanding of what's wrong with it.
Yeah, like, you know, Chris Matthews and O'Reilly, you know, Bill O'Reilly, probably know nothing about the equipment they're speaking into right. every day. And you know, they've both been in radio and TV. Like, O'Reilly started in radio like 160 years ago or something, you know? Not that long, but almost. He was on the first radio station in 1906 when he was only 39 years old. But no, like, you know, I played in bands. Okay, the first time I went into a recording studio was 1983. We went into Inner Ear Studio in Arlington, Virginia, where all the Discord stuff was done. And they were recording on...
Nice name for a studio.
It really is. And it's literally like a studio where, like, you're carrying...
They've got good balance.
You're carrying your amps past his washer and dryer in the basement going into there. But, you know, nice. He had, like, a control room set up with non-parallel glass and, like, another room where the band would play. And everything was routed through the wall correctly with XLR breakout boxes. And he had a decent mixing board that was like, you know, 16-track. He had an 8-track, not an 8-track tape, but 8-track, you know, 1-inch or 2-inch tape. I think it was 1-inch tape.
Was it the same one they used in Pet Sounds?
No. good call. But no, he did have some good, like, Neumann condenser mics. I mean, you know, he'd gotten like a bank loan, I think, and spent like $30,000 or $40,000 building this thing. Mm-hmm. And he really knew how to use it. And, you know, they say now that, you know, anybody with a laptop and a microphone and a, you know, pirated copy of whatever program is as good as a recording studio. No, they're not, man. Most people that record stuff on their home systems don't sound as great as, like, the Minor Threat record that was recorded in that same room, you know?
Right, right.
It's the guy.
It's
the guy.
It's distinction between opportunity and result, right? I mean, anybody has the opportunity, I think, to sound
right,
like a great
right.
studio if they have a little bit of money and the desire. That's really what makes the difference, is the desire to learn how to use it. And it's really easy. I mean, I've talked to people and they're like, yeah, I tried to start making beats and I just don't know how to use the program. And it's like, literally, if you have a question, type in your computer Kill Flanders question
yes.
into YouTube. And if it's an audio program, something popular, like even Fruity Loops or Reason, Cubase, Pro Tools, Yaboy, anything. Just type it into YouTube.
Yaboy. Is that what you're calling Pro Tools now?
Yeah. You'll find somebody who, if they don't have the same exact problem or the same exact sound they're trying to get, you'll find somebody with something similar enough for rock and roll, you know?
Yeah.
Close enough.
And, you know, what I did was I was just always really curious about stuff. Like, when I was recording in 1983 in that studio, I asked a lot of questions. There wasn't a lot of time to ask a lot of questions because we were paying like $70 an hour for the room, which was incredibly cheap for a studio, plus the cost of the tape. But, you know, I'd ask questions. I'd be like, oh, what's that? Why does this mic have this box with this tube in it? What is that?
Yeah.
What's this? You know?
Tube.
Yeah. Like, that
How
was
do
my
I duplicate
first,
this?
You know, duplicate. I like that. I like that. And, you know, here we are, you know, 20 years later, 20 some years, 30 years later, whatever. And we sound great. I mean, as humans, we sound like Spicoli and Butthead, but we're crystal clear, high quality Spicoli and Butthead.
What's Spicoli?
I knew
Butthead?
You'd say that. What is Spicoli? Okay, callers, call in and tell Nima why he should know what Spicoli is. You don't know what Spicoli is?
No,
fast
I know
times
about Dr.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Did you ever see that movie?
Was that Sean Penn's character?
Yeah, it was Sean Penn's character. And my mother saw the movie on TV before I saw it. I was like, I'm like the same age as Sean Penn, give it. Take a day or two, and I used to look a lot like him, and I really looked like Spicoli.
The young you kind of looks like him.
Yeah, I really,
white with the hard features.
Yeah, that picture,
long hair.
That picture that I showed you recently, where you said I looked like not a Greek god, but a like Norse god.
Yeah.
In that picture, I really look like Sean Penn at that age, and I look like Spicoli in that picture. You know, long blonde haired surfer, skinny, wiry. You know, kind of Roman nose. Yeah, when I used to prostitute myself for drug money, I'd put ads in the local Penny Saver in San Francisco that said, Sean Penn lookalike, available for outcall.
Did you really?
Yeah.
When he used to be a crack whore.
No, nice. I was never a crack whore. But no, I was actually, it was in early sobriety. It was in early sobriety. Okay. That's how twisted I am. So, yeah, I never did it while I was using, but when I got sober, I couldn't make a living. So, yeah, I did it for a couple times, but I gave it up basically because I'd show up and they'd be like, just take the money and leave. You don't look like him.
Right.
No, I'm kidding. I'm making this all up, man. So,
sure.
Yeah, Spicoli. Yeah, Spicoli. I'm Spicoli and you're Butthead. And Butthead is the smarter of Beavis and Butthead. That's not saying a lot, but, you know, Butthead is the smarter one. But sometimes,
well, he's kind of, I don't know if he's smarter, but he has the libido dominandi.
Yeah, he's more.
He tells Beavis what to do.
Yeah, like he tells him to drink a bunch of coffee and eat a bunch of sugar, and then he turns into. Yeah. I'm Beavis sometimes when I'm all amped up and go. Matizzi, are you threatening me?
Yeah,
Matizzi is in Wyoming.
Well, you'll also notice that Butthead, whenever he's telling Beavis to do something, A, he's telling him, not asking him, and B, he always says, or I'll kick your ass.
Yeah,
like, that's always
they're not
the
very
threat.
Good people. Yeah, you know, I was thinking about like gun grabbers in TV today. I was watching you ever see a movie called The American?
Let's see. No, I think I might have seen The Merkin though.
The Merkin. The American. God, what's the guy's name? You know, the guy that all the ladies want to screw, he's middle-aged and really sexy. He's like the biggest actor in the world. What's his name?
Chuck Todd?
No.
Who? No, I'm kidding.
Who is Chuck Todd?
He's this fat CNN White House reporter.
The guy that was in Three Kings.
George Clooney.
Yeah. Clooney.
He may be lamer than Chuck Todd.
In the opening scene of the movie The American, I was watching it today. It's a pretty good movie. He's with his like new girlfriend, this woman he's met while traveling abroad. And they're mm-hmm. walking out in this field, hand in hand in the winter, and just having a good day and having a good time. And all of a sudden, like someone starts shooting at them. And she doesn't know his history or why someone would be shooting at him. And he pulls her behind a rock. Giant rock and kind of peers her up, pulls out his gun, his handgun, and starts peering around the corner. And she goes, "You have a gun? Why do you have a gun?" And then he like shoots the guy that's shooting at them and kills them. And I'm like, that's why people guns.
Yeah.
And I'm like, George Clooney played that character, yet he is a gun grabber. How is that possible? Because they just play make-believe all day and don't believe any of it.
That's how it all is. Yeah, they play make-believe, and in all the make-believe, like you said, what you need for a movie is a gun and a girl. That's all you need.
Well, yeah, and that's the opening scene. And that's a quote from, who is it? The guy, the French New Wave guy. Not Bastiat.
With the thin mustache?
You know, he's French.
I'm just throwing stuff at the wall. I don't know, man.
French New Wave. You know, okay. You don't know. Godard. Jean-Luc Godard.
Okay.
But, but the next scene in that, he's leaning over the body of the guy he just shot, you know, with his, like, little James Bond 380 pistol that he shot this guy with a rifle at, like, 100 yards. And
I thought James Bond had, like, a 9mm.
No, man. He had a...
No?
No.
Was it a 380? It wasn't a revolver.
It's a 380 is not necessarily a revolver.
Oh, 380 auto. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I was thinking of 38 special.
Yeah, 380 ACP. Yeah, list of James Bond guns. Walther PPK. It's the same one that Archer has. It's basically the most...
It's been a while since
I played
Goldeneye.
The most ridiculous gun you could possibly carry, except it's incredibly concealable. Archer carries it in his like tiger stripe short brief swimsuit.
Ah.
Which probably doesn't say much for Archer if there's room in there for a PP Kitty. Yeah, PP Kitty. A Walther PP Kitty.
PP Kitty.
Yeah, we're in good form tonight, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway,
although
the next scene.
Not as concealable as a palm pistol. Have you seen those? Those are so awesome.
No, but I have a two-shot Derringer that fits in the palm of my hand that I take when I go, like, you know, out in the garage to get Charlie at night. Yeah.
Well, palm pistols, they were circles. They're basically a,
oh, I see
a
it.
Circle,
yeah.
Not even a cylinder. And then the barrel would fit between your middle finger
it looks
and
like
the one
that's... It looks like the ribbon on a typewriter or something. Or like one of those like little air pumps that you use on photographic film to blow dust off of negatives with.
Right, right. It doesn't even look anything like a gun.
Well, yeah, my...
And I think they wouldn't work in any situation except
for
point blank, but...
It's probably one shot, too. And my Derringer is two shots at 22 LR, which...
No, I don't think they were one shot. I think that's why it's the circle.
It's a rivet. It's got 90
it
shots.
Internal drum.
20
I
shot.
I don't know about 90. No, nothing that
it's
high.
It's full auto, 22 short.
There you go.
But anyway, the next scene in The American, he tells his girlfriend, du jour, go call the police. Go call the police as he's leaning over the dead guy's body. And when she starts walking back to the house, he shoots her in the back, kills her. Yeah, so that's how ethical his character is about guns. He's an assassin.
Yeah.
He's an assassin.
It's also a good lesson whenever somebody says, call the police. Don't
never,
listen to
never
them.
Speak to police. You'll get shot in the back.
There you go.
So Yeah, we're about 20 minutes in here. Let's start talking about some things that are in our notes.
Notes, right.
That yeah. I think we're going to call this, if broken windows created prosperity, Detroit would be made of gold, which Lou said on the Freedom Fiends call-in when he called in. And I made a meme of it, and it was great. But I think the meme's already come and gone, so I think I want to call this one the war on the limbic war. Because I've really been thinking a lot about what we were talking about, how media is designed to overstimulate your limbic system to make you in a constant state of fear, which is really... I mean, I tried to say to Ernie today, like, I don't want to talk about that, man. I'm sick of overstimulating my limbic system. And he's like, but Obama's going to take our guns. And I'm like, dude, let's talk about the audio gear and tube preamps, you know? So I guess I'll just say we're fighting the war on the limbic war by not talking as much about that stuff. And we'll probably go talk about it for an hour now. But what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough nut to crack because... The thing about the mainstream media and they're using your limbic system to elicit responses is the responses they want to elicit are, you know, succumb or submit to the state and make sure that you pay your taxes because we have these people that we need to protect us, and hail the cops and hail the military, because if it weren't for them, then all those things we're telling you to fear would certainly kill you at night when you're sleeping in your jammies, as Scott Horton says. Liberty media, I guess it can suffer from that same fear mongering, especially some more than others. But I don't know. I mean, that's not the response they're trying to elicit, at least. I think they're trying to elicit buy gold and water filters.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I don't know.
Here's a here's the limbic technique in action. We're going to go sell some things, and then we're going to come back and tell you how saying support the troops is going to get your guns taken away on the Freedom Fiends.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features. And corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net. Freedom Fiends. All right, Nima.
Yeah.
What's up? I was hear gun people who are patriots, as they call themselves, say, support your troops, which to me means, you know, support them no matter what they do, even if they're murdering babies.
Which is an awful sentiment to begin with, but you had a different angle.
I really
do. You've heard taken on this that's really, really interesting, and I'd like to hear that, and I think our audience would as well.
Yeah, it's basically that, you know, if you ask someone the meaning of the Second Amendment, you know, Chris Matthews will say, so you could kill black people and get away with it, probably. But that's not it. And the average gun owner will say, well, it's not about hunting. It's about defending against tyranny, which basically means they're saying, I'm willing to shoot the government when some imaginary line is passed.
Imaginary line that's been crossed a million times by 1,000 boots.
Yeah, and I'm not saying they're pussies or they should act now or anything like that, but I'm saying, like, when is your line? You know, and then they say, well, the line is when they take our guns. And the thing is, they're not going to knock on your door and stand there without body armor, you know, with their arms at their side, like the target that you practice at that's 9 yards away. You know, they are either going to drone you or come into your living room with an armed Bearcat that, you know, a full auto 30 cal machine gun wouldn't even dent. Or more likely,
the burners and wait for a fire.
Yeah. Or more likely, what they did to someone this week, they're actually probably going to wait until you're on the way home from a doctor's appointment and pull up with a bunch of police cars and point guns at you and prone you out on the ground, handcuff you, and then take your keys out of your pocket and casually walk into your house and search it.
Yep.
And they'll probably use, you know, weapon, bullet and weapon sniffing dogs. By the way, Nima, did you know that today the Supreme Court made one of its very few ever unanimous 9-0 decisions? Do you know about this?
No.
The decision was that it is legal to use drug dogs on any car without a warrant.
Wow.
And they've got another one coming up that's about people's houses.
I kind of feel like the cops did that anyway. Like, this seems to me just codifying or codifying
it. It upholds it because someone challenged it.
Upholding it.
Yeah. Right. So,
wow.
Yeah. That, you know, it's pretty... anybody who thinks that the left and the right, you know, can one can protect you from the other, they're reaching across the aisle to be against us, basically.
Good old status reach around. Yeah. Yeah. Be wary of it.
Yeah. Reach around with a spiked glove hand and give you some proctology, some amateur proctology with the purple gloves with spikes. So anyway, you know what? Okay. The Second Amendment is about defending against tyranny, but specifically the reason it was written down on a piece of paper that's, you know, protected by helium from decay in the National Archives right now. The reason was to prevent the need for a standing army. That's what the militia in the Second Amendment is about. It is the people are the militia to be called up to defend against something foreign or something internal, you know, whether it's the government going full on Hitler or what. The militia was to prevent a standing army. And incrementally, the United States has built a standing army that is cemented so strongly that something like, you know, 1% of the nation is serving in the armed forces at any given time. Did you know that NOAA, you know the organization NOAA, N-O-A-H, National Oceanic and Aeronautic, whatever? Did you know that is a branch of the military?
I didn't know that. Although I do know that they did get a bunch of that ammo that was being passed around to every federal agency and cabinet-level department, just like Department of Homeland Security.
Well, is
Social Security Administration.
Is the DHS and the Social Security Administration part of the military?
See, it's really funny because they're not, but they they're all part of the executive branch.
Because
which
Obama
is the
said
enforcement arm of the state.
Obama said only the police and the military should have full you know, semi-auto weapons. Then why does DHS have them? Then why does the post office have them? Then why, you know,
why does the IRS have them?
And recently some cop said that, what was it you told me? Some sheriff said that, you don't remember, do you?
Oh, are you talking about the police chief that said that basically explained what guns were for?
Yeah. What do you say?
We should play that clip. No, you got to hear it. You got to hear him speak for himself. But we didn't ponder long. See, you just move so fast.
Well, I'm not
had
too
to say
my
mind
point
equals yet. Blown. No, that it was really that was such an awesome point that the whole point of the Second Amendment, at least as written,
I didn't get there yet. I didn't finish
it
yet.
There.
No, let me.
You did.
But let me clarify. Okay.
You got more?
In closing, every time someone says support the troops, especially if they're a gun owner, they are deteriorating their legal right to have guns or their legal ability to have guns, because the more entrenched the troops become, the more unneeded the militia is. So when you say support the troops, right or wrong, you are saying, I don't need to carry a gun. You really are.
Right. Yeah, that's such a great point. I mean, the less guns that the average person has, the less powerful the guns the average person has, the more you have a need for some kind of specialized, in this case, monopolized and specialized entity, so you can so they can protect, quote unquote, everybody else who are just the poor, unarmed, unwashed masses.
Yeah, and think about all the government agencies with bureaucrats who carry guns now. I mean, the Social Security Administration has way more firepower than the patriots at Lexington and Concord who defeated the British. I mean, things have come that far to where, like, you know, the guys wearing the ties have more firepower than won the Revolutionary War. So support the troops and take your guns. And this and the troops will probably take your guns when guns are taken.
Well, that's really interesting too. Will they or won't they? And I guess to me it doesn't matter. I did see the Piers Morgan going to the gun range in Texas and saying thing and trying to.
You didn't say his name. You didn't pronounce his name correctly.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Well, we have to make a correction. I meant to say Piers Butthole Morgan.
Thank you.
Was down in Texas at a range for a place called, I think it was Tactical Firearms.
I wish Piers Morgan were downrange in Texas. And that's just using his logic because he said he would like to shoot Alex Jones with a semi-auto gun, but. I don't wish any violence on Piers Morgan. I'm just making a joke.
Right, right. Yeah. But he was like, you know, I can't imagine why any civilian would need this. And it's like, well, I can't imagine why any state would need this or why any civilian would want a state to have that over them. I mean, why would you want that tell you what to do to have these massive, powerful weapons?
And, you know, guns are really obsolete with drones. They really are. I mean, a drone, I don't care what kind of armed militia, you know, if you have every gun, if you have a warship gun, not a warship, as you and Ben Stone say, but a warship gun, what they call a gun, as opposed to a rifle. If you have, you know, the cannon that can shoot something 10 miles away, a drone can still take you out because you can't even see a drone. It flies so high up. And it's very interesting to me. Did you see this whole flap about how the they've got a new medal for the Cheeto eating drone operators, and it's a higher ranking medal than either the Purple Heart, which is for being injured in combat, or for the Bronze Star, which is for, like, brave running into combat to protect your buddies
valor
and risking
for saving
your life.
Yeah, your fellow soldiers.
And really, I don't care what the government does or what kind of pieces of tin they make up, but it is important. And here's why. Because I know a lot of anarchists will say, like, oh, that doesn't matter. But it does matter. Let me put on my Mike the Minarchist hat for a second, and we're going to get to him in the second half.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah. Radio. Okay. So the reason this matters is because I think that it's really upsetting a lot of vets. You know, it's upsetting vets who, like, literally, you know, jumped on grenades to save their best friends in combat. Like, people who did extraordinary things and risked their lives and got their arm blown off to save their buddies. That the medal for the basically video game player who is eating Cheetos in a bunker somewhere in New Mexico, he's going to get a medal for playing video games and eating Cheetos that's a higher rank than the guy who risked his life for his buddy or lost his arm. That's insane.
I just think it's kind of unfair and oversimplified, Michael, because some of them prefer Funyuns.
Yeah, okay. So, and our corporate sponsor, Funyuns, wishes to know. No, they are not our sponsor yet. But the reason that this is important is because it kind of undermines the old view of support our troops. And it seems like a really bad tactical move on the part of the government and the military, because really it's kind of undermining the glue of horizontal enforcement of support our troops that holds together the myth, the collective hallucination that is government.
You see, I don't know. I think for them, in their heads, it's a great tactical move because, like we've said before, what they want is for the military to be more and more automated. Because what they have to do now is they have to spend so much effort beating the morality out of people.
So
beating the sense of humanity out of people. That's why you can have people like Chris Dorner, who, even when they decide that the LAPD is corrupt, their moral compass is so broken that they go and kill the daughters of people they didn't
like. Yeah, that's horrible.
They just... people who don't give any value to human life. But I feel like it's so much easier to tell a robot.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so much easier to get a robot to do that, or to get somebody in a drone booth and feed
a drone
them with
booth.
Donuts.
They don't have phone booths anymore. They have drone booths. When I was a kid, we had phone booths. But
yeah.
Now you get to go in a room and press some buttons and kill people. You don't call people. So what do I know that that fighter pilots really don't like drone operators. Because they're kind of being phased out. The real men who fly the planes and drop bombs. But what do the fighter pilots and the guys running around with rifles on the ground, what do they call the drone operators? I'm sure they have some derogatory term for them. Do you know what it is? I don't.
I don't know. We call them Cheeto eaters. I think that's perfect.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I don't know what, and I don't know what the Cheeto eaters call the real soldiers, the real men, the real pilots, but I imagine what they're going to start calling them is cavemen. In the movie Demolition Man, that's what the new weaponless cops called John Spartan, because he was an old style cop who carried a gun. They called him a caveman. And I'm thinking that this new badge for Cheeto eating is part of kind of a, you know, I'm kind of seeing your point of like, I'm thinking it's a bad tactical move. You think it's a good tactical move from the state's point, because I think what they want to do is make guns completely obsolete and guns to be considered a caveman thing.
But then again, if we're talking about tactics here, are there any drones that are made or designed or even effective at air-to-air fighting? Like,
I guess
my scenario is...
I'm sure they're working on it.
My drone can
beat up your drone?
Well, not even drones, but would say some Russian MiG fighters or some Iranians in old American F-15s, would they make quick work of drones... that aren't really equipped, I don't think, at least. I mean, drones are equipped to launch Hellfire missiles at the ground. I don't feel like there's any fighter drones out there.
My limited layman's understanding of, you know, what they'll tell us is drones don't travel very fast. They go at like 150 to 200 miles an hour. I'm sure they have ones that can hover, you know, copter ones, but they can shoot a missile pretty much in any direction, and they can spy on like 4 square miles at one time. I don't think there's a drone yet that could chase a MiG down, but I think that there is one that could be so many thousands of feet above the MiG that it could quickly deliver a heat seeking or laser guided, Hellfire missile at one.
I guess we should talk to somebody who knows more about this. Cause I don't know. I kind of feel like, do drones fly that much higher than a MiG could fly or a F-16? Because the other thing I'm thinking about here is...
Computer, kill Flanders. How high do drones fly? How high do drones fly? It auto-filled. How high do predator drones fly?
Nice.
It auto-filled. I don't want to go to the General Atomics website. I'll go to Wikipedia.
How about drone versus fighter jet? Here we go. It's right here. And there is a new Navy fighter drone. But I guess the other thing about fighter drones and fighter jets is everything the military has been working on for new fighter jets are just awful disasters. Like, what is it, the F-22 and the F-35 that are like billions over budget and decades over time?
That's because they involve humans. They involve humans, man. Take the humans out of the equation. Except as targets.
But then again, I feel like they don't really... I mean, who does America have confrontation with where they'd be air-to-air battles? The only places that the American military fights is places that don't even have an air force, like places that wouldn't even have a single fighter jet, you know?
Yeah. An interesting thing that I told you the other day that I learned recently was that the satellites that are used to guide drones are the same satellites that are used to deliver commercial AM and FM radio to the stations from the network. So Alex Jones and soon the Fiends will be, you know, sharing a data card in a satellite somewhere with the drones. And I think the reason they did that, it's kind of, you said embedded with innocence. I said, I said embedded with innocence. You said human shield. Yeah. So the Alex Jones fans can't complain about the satellites that control the drones.
Or I guess unmanned human shields.
You know, the guy that made the Ben Stone hate page commented on our site. Yeah, he said, funny episode, guys, but there's some inaccuracies. Let me know when to call in and talk about it. I'm like, I don't want that guy to call in. I wanted to set up an Anarchy Gumbo where I was the impartial moderator and got him and Ben on there. And Ben said, I'm too busy to deal with this clown. I'm on my way to New Hampshire. But I was thinking about it. The guy said that Ben violated the non-aggression principle for blocking someone on Facebook. If that violates the non-aggression principle, I'm worse than Obama with his drone program, because I've blocked hundreds of people and then I basically blocked Facebook. I think
we got time for the guy. I would be happy if he called in.
He can call
I
in
would
on
also
Sunday.
Be happy if yeah.
I'll tell
I mean,
him
we're not broadcasting.
In. I'll tell him calling in Sunday.
We're not butt casting now, so we can't really say, "Hey, call in if you're listening," because nobody's listening right now.
No,
but
I'm sure he's monitoring us.
I would love
us.
To talk to him. At least he knows what the non-aggression principle is, and maybe he's green, or maybe he's an old ANCAP, or maybe he's an IP ANCAP. I don't know, but I feel like there's potential there, and I'm curious to see in what world blocking and how he justifies the fact that he says blocking somebody on Facebook would be a violation of the non-aggression.
It's not, because your page is your property, man.
Not only
sort
that,
of.
But
your
freedom
home,
of association,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of natural rights, is being free to associate with whom you'd like and disassociate with people you don't want to talk to or don't want to communicate with.
Okay, I want to call this episode, "You, Sir, Are Worse Than Obama." And that's to all the Cheeto eaters out there. I like that phrase. It's kind of like worse than Hitler, but it's worse than Obama. People should start saying worse than Obama in a hyperbolic way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, we should do a list then. Who would be worse than Obama now? That's a hard one.
People that push the death buttons for him, man. Because Obama's not killing anyone directly. He's authorizing it. You know, I mean, if we had Nuremberg trials, you'd prosecute the guy who gave the orders and the guy that pushed the drone button, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're both horrible. They're in this awful state division of killing instead of division of labor, man.
Yeah.
I don't know who's worse, though.
Dianne Feinstein is addressed. You know how the Republicans are now complaining about the drone program because they don't have a finger on it and they think that it's unconstitutional? Dianne Feinstein, the gun lover from the lady from California, she recently said, well, what we can do is we can have review after Obama kills people. We will review each case.
Yeah, and how horrible is that? That's the debate.
And she wants your Walter.
People who are like, Merkel, let's kill everybody, and people who are like, well, let's talk about it after we.
Yeah,
kill them.
And she wants your Walter PPK PP Kitty gun, because you aren't good enough to have that thing that could maybe kill a raccoon if it had to, but it might take two or three shots.
Yeah. Yeah, and she kicks out the Code Pink people who are calling John Brennan the murderer that he is.
Yeah, I love that. Go, lefty communists, go.
Yeah, well, are right-wingers upset about the drone program? I feel like some are and some aren't.
Well,
aren't there people who were, like, upset at that Code Pink thing and thought, oh, we just need to tase all those people and pepper spray them and get them out of there?
Well, I've got the picture that goes along with, "You, sir, are worse than Obama." And I think it's going to be directed at the anti-war left who love Obama now and hated Bush. I found this picture.
Right.
I found
they
this picture.
Worse.
It's of the Washington Mall, like where they used to have all those rallies, and it's completely empty, and you can see the Washington Monument in the background. It's just an empty field in D.C., and it says, "The anti-war left protesting the current administration."
Well, they're the ones who enable him. You're right. The anti-war left, so-called, the old anti-war people, they're the ones who allow Obama to get away with all this because they still praise him no matter what. I mean, they're like the drug dealer that are supplying him his supply that gets him high off of all the power.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk more about taxes.
Really?
I thought of some things, that we didn't think about before. So most people do their tax show like April 10th or something. But since we just mailed ours off today to our guy, because we got a guy, we're proactive. We got it done. By we, you mean you and DJ. Yeah, me and my wife. We paid our taxes before we even had to. We're that good of patriotic Americans. We just like that crap off our plate, man. So, yeah. Yeah, we'll go sell some things in the free market, and then we will come back. I mean, in the market, and then we will come back and talk about about early historic taxes from long ago here on the Fiends.
On the Fiends.
Yes.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
If you like tranny hookers and shooting crocodile, tune in to freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons. Welcome to Hour 2, second half of the two-part Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. I'm Michael Dean. How you doing, Nima V?
Hey, I'm doing well. My name's Nima V, also known as Nima Vedati, and we're back to take you through the annals of freedom and tell you what it means to you and your life.
He said annals, annals.
We were going to talk about the Rosetta Stone, but it looked really complicated. So, just suffice to say that one of the oldest and most famous documents ever was partially about taxes, and that's what we wanted to say. But there's more to it than that. We'll get to it one of these days because we are a teaching hospital.
Well, I guess I could bring up some of the parts about taxes. I guess basically it grants some kind of tax exemption
To special people.
I'm going to read one of the middle paragraphs, and apparently the Rosetta Stone is a chunk of a bigger thing that they call, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's spelled S-T-E-L-E. And here's the thing, the middle thing in the part that talks about taxes. It says, since King Ptolemy, the ever-living, the beloved of Ptah, the god of Epiphanes and Eucharistos, the son of King Ptolemy and Queen... Oh, God, people used to write really bad. All right, I'm going to skip. Has dedicated to the temple revenues in money and corn and has undertaken much outlay to bring Egypt into prosperity. Wow, Keynesianism even in B.C., and to establish the temples, and has been generous with all his own means, and of the revenues and taxes which he receives from Egypt, some has wholly remitted, and others has lightened, in order that the people and all the rest might be in prosperity due to his reign. Huh. Well, that's different than a tax exemption. That's kind of saying, the more taxes you pay, the more prosperity we'll have, because the king will get to spend it. Well, that's kind of interesting, man. So I guess,
I don't know, man. I'm ordering.
There's nothing new under the sun, you know.
I'm stealing time from the internet. I'm buying preamps on Amazon. I'm buying the same preamp that you bought, but it's one channel. The one that I gave you, but it's one channel instead of two channels.
Yeah, you're always like Nima. I'm raring to go. Let's do this now. Let's do this now. And then you don't do this.
No, I was saying I'm raring for you to go now. So we can do this, and I can go.
Okay.
Can you turn up just a little bit?
Shop. I want to hear you.
I want to hear you a little bit louder.
Ah,
yeah,
okay.
There you go.
Get a little bit louder.
You took a break and you got mellow. Something happened there. You turned you down and didn't turn you back up. So,
oh, is that it?
Okay. Yeah. But now when you get loud, it's a little loud. You don't have your preamp settings right.
I turned on the volume in my brain.
Tubes. Yeah.
Tubes. No, the preamp settings are right, man.
Tubes.
I spent like 3 hours last night.
Give me a
settings.
Give me a tape echo. Tubes.
Give me a D.
Tubes.
Tubes.
Nice. All right. So back to ancient crap.
Ancient crap. Yeah. They didn't have tape echo back in the day. They had stone echo.
Actually, when this is really cool. The Grateful Dead once played at the Great Pyramids, and it's it's one of the shows that, like, if you were there, people always want to hear your stories of it. Like, you know, not a lot of people went. A couple thousand people went and played at the Great Pyramids, and they got permission from Egypt. Is it in Egypt? don't know where they are, but they got permission from the state from the state to use one of the chambers in the pyramid as an echo chamber. Like they ran a mic and a speaker in there and ran cables out. Isn't that awesome?
Oh, I'm so jealous. That is the best thing I've ever heard. Yeah, this reverb right here, dog, is from the Pyramid of Giza.
It'd be, you know, someone should have sampled it, and then they could put it in a mixer.
Seriously.
Yeah. Although I think Death Clock
played...
Tell
that to Yah Boy Pro Tools.
Death Clock played in front of the Sphinx and destroyed it.
Oh, yeah.
And then they played on
that. That should be a preset on a reverb.
Destroy the Sphinx.
Pyramid of Giza.
Yeah.
Oh, and Sphinx Destruction. Yeah. No, that should be a distortion.
Yeah. Did you see? I recently saw for the first time the Metalocalypse, where they dub the agent books them a show in Israel. And the band decides they don't like their agent manager, so they're going to do some of their own booking. So they book for the same day a show in Syria. And they end up playing on the border on a stage that's round, facing in both directions, and almost starting
each other.
They almost start World War III. It's pretty awesome. And then they stop World War III because they're selling death cones at the concession fan, and the Jews and the Arabs are like toasting each other with ice cream cones called death cones. Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Save the world.
It starts with them like partying with, you know, the king of Syria. They're personal buds with him, and they go, you know, shooting machine guns and rocket launchers at things and having lots of prostitutes. Yeah. So, go on with your bad self. And then play Mike. We got to get to Mike. Minarchist Mike, man. He's awesome.
Okay. Well, that's a good point, man. So I guess all I have to say left about the Rosetta Stone is...
It's so square.
This stuff is so old. People are like, well, you can't have freedom, but, you know, freedom is really moving forward. This whole progressive stuff, like we need to tax this and use it to pay for that and socially engineer.
Nice.
That's like ancient Egyptian slavery, literally what it is. And in the last episode, we talked about that, how the earliest forms of taxation were you were taxed by actually having to be a slave to pay off your taxes. That was your debt to society, was being a slave. That's your national service, man. That's Obama's national service. It's all this old ancient stuff. So I don't know why they call themselves progressives and act like they're onto some new awesome thing, because stealing money from people, man, that's old. And that's how government started. I mean, what is it that Ben Stone likes to point to the history of Jericho? And he calls that sort of the genesis of the state, because it looks like from the archaeology that what had happened was a group of thieves decided, hey, let's stop traveling all over and being a roaming band, and let's just sit here and steal regularly from people, and we'll create a building that only protects us. And so they made this building that didn't protect the whole city, but only protected the class that was stealing from people, who you would now call a government.
Yep, and we're going to segue into playing a short YouTube clip from Minarchist Mike, which is a character created by anarchist Chris Cantwell. Is that his name?
Chris Cantwell.
Wearing a wig and pretending to be a minarchist, and it's really funny. I do want to say the audio on this is really bad, and if Chris would like to contact us, we'll tell him how to get his audio better. We actually had one of the best compliments I've ever heard recently. Mark said that the new tests that we did, and this is our first cast that we're doing with the Audio Compass software over the internet. He said, you guys sound effing great. If I were a raging communist, I'd still listen to you guys because you have such an F-tastic audio quality. That's great.
F-freaking-tastic.
So play Mike, Minarchist Mike.
Thanks, man. This is Minarchist Mike, and this is another example of that old school thinking. Even if you're a Paulite, even if you're a constitutionalist, it's old school thinking, man, to think that you need any form of bands that steal from you. So here's a good example of that. Obviously, it's satire. Here you go.
Hey guys, it's Minarchist Mike here, and I just want you to know that the Ron Paul revolution is not over, man. It doesn't matter if he's retired from politics and isn't running for president anymore. We can still write him in, guys, even after he's dead. And if enough of us do that, then the New World Order will have no choice but to give us their reincarnation technology to bring him back from the grave and restore the Republic once and for all. I'll never give up on you, Ron Paul. I know that God sent you from heaven to fight the New World Order, and I'll never give up on you. I don't even wait for election day to write you in, Ron Paul. I just write your name down whenever I have pen and paper handy, and I write your name on the bathroom stalls in the big corporation stores because I know that they're part of the conspiracy to prevent us from having a resource-based economy. But guys, the New World Order is not the only threat to the Republic. I want to talk to you guys about anarchists.
Sounds like
they
Alex
infiltrated
Jones.
The Ron Paul Revolution to hurt the movement, man. That's all they want to do. They want to hurt the movement. They hate the Constitution because it gives us rights. They don't even believe in rights. I think they are secretly government agents trying to stop us from writing in Ron Paul. They say that we shouldn't vote for Ron Paul or anyone. We shouldn't vote at all. Not even for the Libertarian Party. Forget Al-Qaeda. These guys are the real terrorists. They promote the extremely violent theory of government known as anarchy. In anarchy, it's perfectly legal to rape, murder, and steal. I know that because without government, there would be no laws. Look it up, dude. I mean, who would build the roads? Do you want to live in a world where Planned Parenthood takes over the planet and makes it illegal to go to church? Do you want to live in a world where it's perfectly legal to throw a Molotov cocktail at a kitten? I sure don't. And without the Constitution, society will break down and people will be made ostriches and there will be human-ostrich hybrids ruling the world through their totality. Totalitarian anarchist government. The anarchists must be stopped at all costs. We cannot allow these enemies of the Republic to hurt the movement anymore. So remember, guys, no matter what happens, you must support Ron Paul. Say it loud, say it proud. Raw Paul, Raw Paul, Raw Paul, Raw Paul.
That was so, so awesome.
Don't you want to throw a Molotov cocktail at a kitten, Michael? I mean, that's just what we talk about all day on our anarchist podcast.
That had every fallacy in it. It was great. And I think the ostrich thing was a Robert Anton Wilson subtle reference. Because he wanted to replace Congress with ostriches.
Oh, yeah.
The Guns and Dope Party. The Guns and Dope Party, which we sort of named the movie Guns and Weed after. All right. Well, we're going into a sales segment here. And we'll be back in a bit to talk about Minarchist Mike and other
fallacies.
Yes, enjoy
our break of anarchy here.
Yeah.
Worst.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of the Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding the Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Ow, it hurts.
It hurts so good. I want that liberty.
Liberty.
Yeah.
During the, we don't call them breaks. Everyone calls them breaks except Ian Freeman. Everyone, even like Hannity, calls them breaks. But Glenn
it's
Beck calls them breaks.
It's good to follow Ian Freeman, though.
We're following Ian Freeman's footsteps onto the radios and into the hearts of good Americans everywhere who'd never otherwise find us.
Yeah, I meant to bring that up earlier. We were having a discussion about audio gear and radio hosts and how often a lot of them don't know much about what goes behind them getting their voices from their lungs and their vocal cords to the rest of the world. But
Ian knows.
Ian is one guy who knows so much about it.
I was helping Ian troubleshoot the other night. He needed to troubleshoot something with the mumbles. And since I'm one of the people that connects to him via mumble out of the like eight people who do, and he knows I'm up at 4 a.m, he dropped me an email and I called him. That's why there's that picture of me from the last, those audio tests of me wearing two headsets and a telephone headset and talking into a microphone. Yeah. That's not staged. Yeah. I'm actually speaking to him on the phone and speaking to him over the microphone and listening to the mumbles on the headset. And it took, you know, it took about 20, 25 minutes. And I was in the process of editing some Fiend stuff over the speakers.
Nice.
And so while he was like climbing under the mixing board and changing things at his studio, I just threw the other headset over part of one ear and went back to editing Fiends while I was doing it and just snapped a shot of myself.
And that has beamed its meme self into my brain now, because I am actually, I've got one earbud in my right ear, and then I've got a whole big cup headphone on top of both ears. So I've got two audio sources that I'm monitoring. So basically, I'm wearing like two headphones, but one's a set of earbuds, and one's an actual headphone, so it goes over the top of it. It's great.
Well, speaking of audio, I am selling my ArtTube preamp for $60 plus shipping, which is about, you know, $45 cheaper than you can buy it anywhere else. And this is February 20th, 2013, so if you're listening to this a year and a half from now, it's probably been sold. But if you're listening to it this week...
Who knows?
Yeah, probably not. But no, if you want to buy a really good Fiends preamp that was used for, you know, dozens and dozens or scores of Fiends episodes on my end, drop me an email at talkback@freedomfiends.com. So, Minarchist Mike...
Minarchist Mike.
That guy's so awesome, man. Yeah. He needs my preamp. Chris Cantwell should buy my preamp.
Ah, there you go. Well,
yeah.
Send him a message, man. Maybe he'll buy it.
Nah.
Tell him it's been fully approved by the FCC, and
that's,
then he'll buy it.
That's not true, and that's not how you sell things now. You just link the person, and then they're ego surfing in their stats, and they find you, and they listen to it.
Ah.
Like the guy that bashed Ben Quaker... we linked his site on our site, and within about two and a half hours, he had listened to it and posted a response on our site. So pingbacks, man. Pingbacks are awesome.
Yeah, they are.
If you don't know what they are, it's so, basically when you have a blog, a WordPress blog, if you link somebody else's WordPress blog, it adds a comment on their site that someone linked them. So
And it'll probably, if you're set up right, send you an email notification so you know, hey, this person is talking about me or my blog on the interwebs. Yay.
Yes. So.
Yes.
What'd it be so, like, Minarchist Mike?
Minarchist Mike, man, and Minarchist in general. I had some general Minarchist ranting to go on. If you've got something specific about Mr. Minarchist Mike, you can go for that now, and then I'll break it out and broaden it out and broadcast it.
No, man. All I can say is awesome, 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 awesome. Okay. I'm not as smart as I usually am. You're good tonight, but I'm kind of like, because I did the Ernie Hancock show at O'Dawn too damn early this morning. And
O'Dawn, is that?
Yeah, his show.
Military time for somebody who's illiterate.
Well, O'Dark 30 is a military term. My stepson uses that. Like, he does a lot of maneuvers where he's up. They start at O'Dark 30, which basically means, you know, when we're in our jammies. Most people are in their jammies. But it's light out when Ernie starts. We're both in the mountain time zone, and he starts at 7 a.m., which I call O2 damn early. It takes me about 2 days to recover from doing his show, and he's been having me on a lot lately, but I don't know if he's gonna after I was just like, I love the guy dearly. He's a great, great Liberty person who's been, you know, doing Liberty stuff since like you were writing essays in high school about how great Bill Clinton is, man. And I was voting for Nancy Pelosi in San Francisco. But yeah, I just don't want to talk about the tyranny as much as some people do. You know, I want to talk about audio gear. So let's talk about Minarchist Mike and how he needs more audio gear. What would fix?
Okay,
what would
make it better? There's a really bad tyrany surrounding Zero Dark 30 that would have been
the
a good
movie.
Segue, but we
can, the movie that
we can
makes,
hold that on.
Well, that's like I said, that's a term that predates that movie, but O Dark 30. But
right. Well, not necessarily about the movie. The movie's kind of
it makes torture
to
look
story,
cool, right? It makes torture look cool and acceptable. Is that the problem?
Well, that's not what I was going to say, but yeah, the movie, the story is we wouldn't have gotten Bin Laden, or the U.S. government wouldn't have gotten Bin Laden if it weren't for torture, which the government itself has said is not true and has told the movie directors
Obama voted, and Obama voted against torture when Bush was doing it. Think about that. Think about voting for...
When he gets the ring of power.
Think about how the evil of voting for torture. You know, I heard Ian Freeman say something really right on today on Free Talk Live. He was like... You know, about the nanny state and about how people want to pass laws to like tell their neighbors what to do is the way he put it. And he said,
yeah,
He said, most people, given their own devices, don't want to tell their neighbors what to do. And I believe that's true. But when there is a thing called the state that people can vote mm-hmm. or lobby for to point the guns at their neighbors, all of a yeah. sudden, everyone, a lot of people want to tell their neighbors what to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when that's the socially acceptable recourse when you have a problem. The socially acceptable recourse when you have a problem isn't always go talk to somebody, go negotiate, go try to work something out and come to some kind of win-win agreement. The social norm is call the cops,
oh,
call the park ranger.
Ernie said something great. I guess I'm just doing a review of other Liberty radio shows right now, but Ernie said that there's been a spate lately in Phoenix, around the Phoenix area, of hawks like grabbing ladies' poodle dogs and flying away with them as lunch. And lady, like people, I guess not just ladies.
I don't know
why
I'm laughing. It's horrible.
I know, but people are literally calling their government and saying there ought to be a law against this. And I'm like,
yeah, really?
Really? You're going to arrest? I just only want to explain how absurd that is. Just that is absurd.
You're
going to
arrest
man.
The hawks.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, that's what it comes down to.
Or arrest
people,
for giving Aiden comfort to the hawks. Feeding the hawks.
Well, okay, that's a good segue, too. So we are talking about Zero Dark Thirty, but it's not the movie that I was talking about. It's this horrible, horrible tyranny. I know we don't always like to do tyranny today's, but since it's there, there was this dude, a young kid with Down syndrome. Washington Post carried this article, and it's going around on Facebook. And he went to see Zero Dark Thirty with his, it says companion. I'm guessing that is the person who sort of hangs out with him and probably gets
his paid. Handler.
Not necessarily a handler, but there's a thing where the state will actually give people buy who
you,
have they'll buy you disability
a,
money.
They'll buy you a
they'll
best
buy you
friend.
A friend. Yeah. The state will buy you a friend, yeah.
Right. Do you get friend stamps? Can you sell your friend stamps to lonely people?
Yeah, I guess so. But he was at a movie, Zero Dark Thirty. He went to see a movie because, you know, that's what you do. You know, you want to go see a movie? Oh, yeah, I do. So he'd go to see a movie, and he wanted to see it again. You know, it was very entertaining to him, so he wanted to see it again. And the movie theater was not too happy about this, and a horrible thing happened. And I'll tell you about it when we come back from doing some very good things by trying to sell stuff for the market.
No, by selling stuff. Not trying.
By selling
we're
stuff.
We're selling stuff.
We're going to sell. Worms. No try.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Oh, I made that one wrong.
Is the drone out of range, Michael? Well, I don't have a drone finder.
That should come at the end of a break, not at the beginning of a segment.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Note to self.
Yeah,
so
the decentralized scrutinizer must fix that.
We're going to come back to Minarchist Mike, but Read about the
but
the kid who got killed by cops.
Meantime, yeah, well, you just blew the load. All right, I guess inverted pyramid, fine. Yeah, so if we were going to write this as a headline or a lead, yeah, we could go ahead and start with that. The
you and your J-school diploma. I pee on
police
your J-school diploma.
Police killed this kid with Down syndrome,
peepy
all
kitty,
right?
Peepy kitty.
Now, the Washington Post writes the headline as, autopsy finds that MD man with Down syndrome died of asphyxia while in police custody. But I think we can all read that as police killed him. So basically what happened is, like I said before, we went and sold things. He was watching a movie, doing what he did, you know, taking advantage of hanging out with his companion for the day. He wanted to watch the movie again, Zero Dark Thirty. He wanted to see it again. He's like, yeah, I want to see it again. The movie theater attendant said, no, you gotta leave. He wouldn't leave. So instead of trying to handle it himself or saying, okay, fine, whatever, just watch the movie, or even asking for more money so he could sit in the seat again, he calls the cops. That's what the attendant did. He calls the cops. The cops come down, ask this dude's name is Robert Saylor. He's 26, has Down syndrome, asks him to leave. You know, I kind of feel like if you don't really understand enough to where you need to have a companion with you, you don't really give the reverence to somebody who wears a badge that you would that somebody who knows that the state can kill you would.
I'm sorry, man. So I'm sorry. I'm laughing. Someone just sent me something that is so much better than what we're talking about. I hate to say let's move on, but oh my God, read what I just sent you. Because everyone else is probably talking about that other tyranny thing, and this is fresh tyranny that just happened, and it's so funny, man. It's so funny. Do you want to finish that one? Go ahead. We'll come back to this. But
it's okay. Why don't you talk about it?
I'm sorry, man. I cock-blocked you. I rooster-blocked you. No. Okay, the police are bad, and they killed a retarded kid. But not retarded, Down syndrome kid. Sorry.
Yeah. All right.
To read this headline,
that's
man.
That's about the
gist of it. Isn't this headline awesome? It's one of the best headlines I've ever seen in my life. Go ahead and read it.
Colorado college advises vomiting or urinating to stop rapists after lawmakers pass gun control bills.
Colorado, man. Yeah.
Right,
one state to
right.
the south of me. Yeah. That is priceless, man.
This is from the
It's not
the
even
US
curl up in
the,
a ball. It's wet your panties and vomit.
Yeah. I think that was a move in Street Fighter 2. You punch Blanca enough and he'll throw up on you. All right. The University of Colorado at Colorado Springs Department of Public Safety has updated an online statement advising female students to consider a variety of unusual actions if they are attacked, including vomiting, urinating, and claiming they are menstruating.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow. That is awful. That is just completely
this is
awful.
It's one of the best ridiculous headlines I've ever seen in my life. It really is.
Yeah, is this real? It's from the International Business Times. I don't know, man. I hope this isn't an Onion thing again.
It's not
so hard to
International
tell
Business Times is a real thing.
Oh,
that's what I thought last time though about the current, but let me look up the International Business Times.
Hold on though, there's something really odd about Colorado lawmakers passed a gun control bill. That's
I missed
news
that
too,
memo.
Man. That's in the headline. That's what the headline. That's why the college is telling women to vomit and urinate on rapists. What if the rapist likes that?
I know. I know.
A. And B. Yeah, that's the headline. Colorado college advises vomiting or urinating to stop rapists after lawmakers pass gun control.
Okay, this is a real. It's a real paper. First of all, it's a real paper. International Business Times.
Okay.
It's probably from London or something, but.
Ah, so the bills have passed the Colorado House of Representatives.
It's in New York City. Oh, but the college wants to be proactive, so they're saying when this bill passes, which may not happen,
right.
They're saying when this bill happens, you know, so you can start practicing vomiting and urinating and saying you're menstruating. You know, I mean,
people are always talking Colorado up as, you know, they'll never take our guns out here in Colorado, but apparently. That's what they're doing. The Colorado State House of Representatives passed a package of gun control bills that includes one that would make it illegal for people with concealed weapons permits to carry guns on the campuses of public universities. I guess that's kind of in response to that whole controversy of, you know, making concealed carry permit holders live in a separate dorm than everybody else.
Yeah.
So, huh. Wow, man. Hopefully that doesn't pass the Colorado Senate.
Voting for torture. That's basically what this is. It's voting to allow women to be tortured.
Yeah.
And by the way, my cat Charlie is like wheezing in the background. She's having a weird dream or something and going, eh. I want to be clear, because now that this picks up everything, whereas Mumble didn't, I don't want people to think I've got like a lady tied up in the corner whimpering or anything against her will. She said she's menstruating. Wow. I'm going to keep her here till she's done. stop most rapists, especially people that like orally rape and then murder, you know?
Listen to what this Democratic state rep in the Colorado House said about this bill. It's Joe Salazar. He argued that students should not have access to guns to protect themselves from being raped. That was his argument. Here's his quote. It's why we have call boxes. It's why we have safe zones. It's safe why we zones. Have the whistles. Do they have rape whistles? Is that a real thing?
You thought that was a joke? Rape whistles have been around since like the 70s. It was like a feminist empowerment thing. Like women wore whistles. And if somebody, and the point about that is there's a really famous case. I can't remember the name of her right now. I think it was in the 70s in New York City. There was a woman raped and murdered while 32 people watched and none of them called the cops. You know, so whistle all you want. It ain't going to help you. And note that this is part, this plan is part of Rape Aggression Defense Systems. If you click on that link and go to it, it's rad-systems.com. RAD. They call it RAD. It's RAD to not carry a gun and just vomit and pee when someone tries to rape you. Man, this is so beyond curling up in a ball.
Okay, so it looks like they're doing some types of self-defense. Like, they're wearing that whole protective gear, and there's a picture of a woman punching a guy. I just don't get how you can hold in your head the thought that it's okay to defend yourself, but you're not allowed to have the proper tools to defend yourself. Why? I mean, if you concede that it's okay to defend yourself, shouldn't it be universal that you can defend yourself however you feel comfortable defending yourself?
Yeah.
It just boggles my mind that they don't get that about it, that they don't take it to its logical conclusions. Don't get it, man. And it's really sad to see it happening. I mean, I guess the carpetbaggers are everywhere, man.
Well,
move to the mountains anymore.
No, I don't think.
Away from tyranny.
I think you can come from Colorado and be of that mindset. I mean, Colorado kind of has a cowboy, you know, history and mentality. And there's still a lot of people there who are take care of themselves, self-sufficient, you know, don't want to be. I just want to be left alone and are capable of doing it. But there's also a lot more people there than, say, in Wyoming or Montana, probably, or definitely Idaho, that might as well live in San Francisco, but just like the mountain views. They should just move to San Francisco, man, those people.
Yeah. I don't know. The other thing, especially when it comes to college campuses, is I feel like these people who are making these laws that are going to affect people's lives who actually live on campus don't understand how a campus works at all. Like, I spend 40 hours a week on a college campus, one of the biggest ones in the country. And, dude, at night, people are peeing and vomiting all the time. Like, you're not going to assume somebody's getting raped because they're peeing and vomiting, or even because they're screaming or blowing a whistle. They're all partying. They're all getting rowdy and crazy and screaming. And you hear girls scream all the time. And it's a normal thing because that's how they party.
I mean, literally, so, to protect something the size of a college campus, to fully protect every person there from physical harm.
It's impossible.
Well, it's not impossible, but you would need an army. You know, to protect a campus, you would need several thousand armed soldiers or guards or police. You would literally need more than a cop on every corner. You'd need a cop on the corner, then a cop in the middle of the block, and then a cop on the next block, all the way around the block. And then you'd have to have, you know, 15 of them on each floor of the 10-story dorm. And then have that repeated throughout every dorm and on every block and on every, you know, bush-lined pathway that goes through a little fake-created woods that were, you know, they brought in the trees. And there's a little place where the lights burn out. I watch CSI all the time. And a lot of them are like, oh, well, the murderer came and, like, unscrewed the light bulb and then raped and murdered the woman in this little wooded area that looks so pretty on the pamphlet of the college.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can't do it, man.
There's
you can't do it.
There's so many places to hide on a college campus, especially at night, and not just outside, but inside too, man. I mean, the buildings are, they're cavernous in some places, and then they're like labyrinths. You know, there's a million different turnoffs, and there's stacks and stacks, you know, in the library. You can hide between each stack of books. Yeah, it's just ludicrous to say that people can't defend themselves on a college campus and should instead pee their...
Yep, and more on why you shouldn't go to college when we come back on the Freedom Fiends.
Would you like to advertise your product or service to a large built-in audience of liberty-loving consumers who truly dig the free market? Freedom Fiends is now selling ad space. Slots are reasonably priced, but limited, so contact us today. Write the Fiends at talkback@freedomfiends.com. That's talkback@freedomfiends.com. You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Yo. Nima V.
Yeah.
Nima
what
V.
Does it do?
Mic check. Mic check on the Nima V. Wiggity wiggity
okay.
Wee.
Check, 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 check.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself on the internets with the DHS.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah. Speaking of college, a friend of mine is a really good friend of mine, a girl I used to date who was kind of my personal assistant and art assistant for a bunch of projects back in the day, recently wrote me and asked me to do a letter of recommendation for grad school. She wants to be an art therapist. She's an incredibly good artist, but it's hard to make money as an incredibly good artist. So she's, you know, and I didn't even give her a lecture. I didn't say, you know, well, make sure you don't take people's guns away if you're doing psychology. But, you know, I trust her. She's a good person. But I said, do you really want me to write a letter of recommendation? You should probably Google me first, because they probably will Google me if I send this for you. And I don't know if you've been keeping up, but I do a lot of podcasts and blog posts lately where I'm basically saying guns are great, the government's horrible, and you shouldn't go to college because professors are stupid, and I didn't go to college and I'm doing okay. But she read it and said, no, go ahead, write me one. So, yeah. Did you ever see the Curb Your Enthusiasm where someone asks Larry David to write a letter of recommendation for grad school?
No, I didn't. I haven't seen any Curb Your Enthusiasms.
Yeah, I could kind of take him or leave him. I used to like him, but this one's really funny. It's basically he plays himself, you know, and he's worth about a $500 million from his Seinfeld money. And it's him playing himself.
That much?
Yeah, literally.
Or is that hyperbole?
No, that's true.
Wow.
You know, so he's like, you know, retired at 50 years old and wants to be doing something, but it's all his misadventures of like this billionaire sitting around with way too much time on his hands. And he's really sorry. He's playing himself. He's a sarcastic butthole, basically. So, right. He's out to dinner with his wife and about, you know, five other people, a couple couples and one other guy. And everyone at the table is asking him a favor. One guy's asking him to, you know, I'm making this book for my dad. He's very old. And you met him one time. I'm making him one copy of a book. And you remember him? And he's like, no. Yeah, you met him. No, he remembers you. Well, I want you to write a page and make it decorative. And I'll put it in this book for him. And he's like, okay. And then someone else asks for, you know, a job referral, and then somebody else asks him for a letter of recommendation for grad school. And he doesn't want to do any of this. And then he spends like 2 days putting it off and trying to start it and then just going, this is ridiculous. And then he's at a Lakers game, LA Lakers, you know, front row basketball, like on the court, and he's stretching and he puts his feet out and he trips Shaq and like rips Shaq rips it, blows out his knee, and you know, the Lakers lose the game and don't get in the playoffs because of Larry David. And so, and he's on the Jumbotron and he's on the news for days showing a replay of him tripping Shaq. And So like he calls up, you know, he runs into one of the guys at Starbucks that asked him to write the letter of recommendation. And he's like, you know, I was trying to think about that. I'll get around to it. And the guy's like, oh no, that's okay. No, I don't need it. I don't need it. And one by one, he runs into everyone who like pressed him for a favor. And they're all like, no, man, it's okay. I don't want it. I don't want it. And there's like people throwing things at him out of cars and people yelling, you suck. You know, basically he goes from just some anonymous half billionaire to everyone in Los Angeles hates his effing guts in one day. and he's happy. Like he's happy, happier than he's been in the whole season.
Right.
Which is great.
Less demands.
Yeah.
Genius.
Yeah. But I kind of felt like that when writing this letter. But I wrote an incredibly glowing, truthful letter for her. And it felt really good to do. And it kind of felt good that somebody would think I'm someone that would have any weight with, you know, a major university, mm-hmm. but I've written some books. So, you know, I guess maybe, I don't know, but I did it. It was fun, but college sucks. No one should go and professors are stupid basically. And they probably, a lot of them probably love this this barf and pee self-defense method. A bit of the old barf and pee, Missy.
Yeah, if we ever do a Guns and Weed 2, heroin and assault rifles, then we should have that be the government self-defense class.
The government self-defense class. And it'll be taught by
Shepard Humphrey standing up saying, okay, class, now practice like I taught you, and then you see everybody's pants get wet.
Yeah, you'll carry a bunch of Epicac, which is the stuff you drink to make you throw up, but it takes like 15 minutes to make you throw up, so... If you feel that some people around you might rape you in 15 minutes, drink some Epicac.
Oh, man.
So,
awful.
I don't think Minarchist Mike would even co-sign this plan.
Yeah, I don't know. There's minarchists that are gun lovers.
A lot of the type of people that he's playing, the Ron Paul can still ride again types, a lot of them are very pro Second Amendment, but don't own or carry guns, like Ron Paul himself.
Or they're pro Second Amendment, but they're still pro government regulating who gets guns and how they get the guns. They're not pro Second Amendment in the sense that shall not be infringed. Yeah. You know, like the guy who was talking to Pierce Butthole Morgan. He was like, well, you know, I don't think people should who have mental issues should be able to get guns.
I think Pierce Butthole Morgan has mental issues. I don't.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
I don't think you should be able to practice the First Amendment if you're crazy under that rule. And I don't think that. And he's not even American, man. He's not even American. Go back to England.
Not America.
We beat your butt 200 years ago. Get out. No, I'm fine with him being here. I just want him to shut up. Or I don't even care that he talks. I just can't believe people give him weight. You know, he has no weight. He's a bozo. And he was kicked out of England over a phone hacking scandal. Remember?
And you'll always see on YouTube channels or, you know, in the comments on videos with Pierce Morgan.
Pierced Butthole Morgan.
Like, deport him.
Pierced Butthole.
Please, I know, you're like, please say the whole thing, but it's so, such a mouthful.
Please say the whole thing. You. A pimp you. Named Pierced Butthole Morgan. Well, actually, if we're getting ready for radio, you should call him Pierced Beehole Morgan, because I need to go over this with you.
Can you not say butthole?
Yeah, you might be able to, but you certainly cannot say asshole. I talked with Ian about this a lot. Now I told you some of it, but not all of it. So here's what you can and cannot say on radio. And this is the last time we're ever going to cuss. You cannot say,
how many times have you said that?
Here's like the 15 words you can't say on radio. Piss, shit, fuck, cunt, tits, cock, dick, pussy, asshole, cocksucker, motherfucker. You can say ass, meaning that guy's an ass. Mm-hmm. You probably could say ass, you know, meaning the butt, but you know, it's kind of one of those, like, if you have to ask,
but not the orifice. You can't,
right.
you can't refer to the hole.
To the hole, right.
Right.
You can say F that. You cannot say fuck that, but you can say F that or F that noise. You can say...
Can you say a-hole? Can you say what an a-hole?
Yeah, but you probably shouldn't. You can say screw that. You can say poop.
Okay.
You can say poop. And pooplicate. Ian really liked the word pooplicate. I explained it to him. You can say
it's
poop.
It's genius.
But you cannot say poop in his mouth, which brings up another point. You have to avoid prurient or appeal to the lowest common denominator, which poop in his mouth apparently would.
Mm.
Yep. So I'm going to print
that's
this.
Kind
I'm going to
vague, man.
We're going to print this all out and hang it up in our broadcast stations. So
it sounds to me then like anytime somebody wants to complain about your show, they can call the FCC and say these people are appealing to the lowest common denominator.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to type in the show notes, man. Barf and pee if you get raped. That probably would be something you wouldn't say on the air, but barf and pee if you get raped.
Barf and pee.
The old little bit of the old barf and pee. Yeah.
Barf and pee. Yes, governor.
Yeah. So we're coming up here. We're coming up here on near the end of the new and improved Fiends. Minarchus Mike, did we finish up with him?
Self-defend.
He's awesome.
Did you have anything else to say about Minarchist Mike?
Nah, just that...
I have something to say about minarchism. I was listening to Jake Shannon, who actually has his own real radio show in Salt Lake City.
Ooh, and, real radio.
He's a libertarian. He's Bad Quaker interviewed him once and called him the most... Ben Stone called him the most interesting man in the liberty movement.
Yeah, you've got 1 minute. Like you've got 1 minute. Like since you didn't get your atomic clock yet, you've got 1 minute to tell us why you're saying this stuff.
1 minute.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll save it then. Well, okay, fine. I'll try to do it quick.
He
said, I used to be an ANCAP, but I just can't wrap my head around it anymore because... he said, I just can't wrap my head around it anymore because, like Nozick said, they're all the companies are going to... conglomerate and there'll be a state again. And I just wanted to say to him, man, you can't say we need a state to prevent the state. That's just silly. So I would say a lot more, but I can't. Bye.
That was the Freedom Fiends. Thank you. Practicing for radio, and we're going to get better at it. You need
radio,
a clock.
Radio.
Yeah.
Well, the clock's
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFeens.com.